B-Pod Studios.
Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshitz. Here are the Bankroll. Who you got?
All right, we are live, and it is Super Bowl Sunday. Oh, I didn't have that in me, Dan, but I'm ready.
I am too. Crazy day, man. Crazy day. I'm excited for this one.
I will say this. My phone has not stopped all morning long. Hey, Joe, what's this Gronk? What's this Tyreek Hill? What's this? What's that? And I'm like, dude, you know that you can find all this stuff on the internet. You know what I mean? Like, so I've already gotten many calls today, Dan. So, but it's a beautiful day. We have Tom Brady going to his 10th Super Bowl and Patrick Mahomes in his 12th Super, in his second Super Bowl. Which makes it 12 Super Bowls combined between the two quarterbacks today. Of course, we do know that Andy Reid's been here before. The Chiefs going for back to back, and the Bucs obviously 7-9 last year, and obviously the fifth seed. And I think that's something missing here, Dan. I think there's something missing there that the fifth seed is hosting a playoff game at home, a Super Bowl at home, which has never been done before.
Ever.
But the best team in the league this year is taking on a fifth seed. And I think that's been completely forgotten when it comes to the Super Bowl.
I mean, it's certainly something we didn't discuss it much yesterday, but the fact is, yeah, it is kind of a home game. I don't know how much credit I'm going to give it. I mean, there's certainly not going to be, much of a home crowd, regardless of how many people are there. Now, any other year, Joe, any other year, and you have to say, man, this is a fucking advantage for Tampa. But I don't know how much it is. I don't know. And, you know, I think that, you know, kind of going back and forth between the COVID year, there has been a slight home advantage some places. I don't really think Tampa is one of those places. So there's no cannons firing off. There's no, you know, craziness. The only thing I would say the home field advantages, there's no travel, which is nice. Kansas City just traveled in, I believe, yesterday. So, you know, there was there's no real adjustment period for them. It's a little bit different. So, yeah, it's a bit different than normal years. Obviously, the Andy Reid story with his son, that's, you know, that was kind of a story yesterday. You know, there's some stuff that's going on. It's just, I don't know. I look at it and say, yeah, it's not as big as it could be, but it's super cool. We're getting the Super Bowl. In my opinion, the hype for this game has been real slow up until about maybe yesterday. And, to me, this has been a game. This is all I cared about all week. Brady Mahomes. This is to me, this is one of the best Super Bowl matchups we've had in the past, you know, 5 or so years. I'm stoked for this game.
Oh, yeah. I think it's a good game. And, you know, I look at some of the other previous Super Bowls. Last year was a great game. Chiefs and 49ers. You had that power running game, good defense versus a high-powered, you know, offense with a defense that wasn't great. And I think that's a storyline heading into today is, you know, we look at the Bucs as an improved defense. Todd Bowles has run that team. They've had players sit out, like Winfield missed the championship game. Smith missed a playoff game, and they've been really good. They have. They have a pass rush. They have guys on the defensive line. Like, they've been good. But I think the Chiefs' defense, although it can be overrated at times, we mentioned yesterday their red zone. When teams are in the red zone, they score, what, 66% of the time? That's not good. It might have been 76%, actually. Now that
I think it was 76%. Yeah. Again, we talked about teams in those situations 0-5 in Super Bowls, unfortunately.
And the Chiefs' defense, I do think, has made plays when they've had to. That's the one thing I'll give them. So, you know, you've mentioned this a couple of times. You feel that, you know, if the Bucs get the ball, they want the ball first if they win the toss. And the way that the Chiefs have been going, they generally defer. So I do think, and I agree with you, I think that this is the type of game where if the Bucs want to control it, they need to score first and control the game.
We didn't really get into the total too much yesterday just because we were focused on the props and the sides. I did kind of want to talk about that. What are you thinking on the total before we start taking some prop questions here? Because I know there's a lot. Yeah, word against some on Twitter and in the chart and the chat and everything. What are you thinking in regards to the total, Joe? Because I've been going back and forth. I initially liked the over. Now I'm starting to lean maybe just towards the under. I'm just thinking maybe more of a ball control game for Tampa. And, you know, when that happens, I do think that there is a tendency to go under. The last game, I mean, between these two, it felt like it was a high-scoring game, and it still went under the total of what's projected today. I don't want to put too much stock into that game because I think, obviously, there'll be adjustments. But I think that is, you know, it is something to be interesting. And I know, you know, our buddy Andrew saying, you know, never bet the under. But, yeah, I mean, that's a real option today, no?
Can I give you a wrangle?
Oh, yes. Let's do it.
So I don't know if you can see my current screen right now, everybody.
Yes, we can.
John Ewing. Carl Sheffers is the head official for the Super Bowl today. In playoff games that Sheffers has officiated, the under is 8-1.
Oh, no. Yeah, I think I'm leaning that way. I think that's the way I am probably going to end up placing my money today. Try and get there's some 56 out there. There is a 56.5 out there too. Still at a Mr. Pickles type book. You'll be able to find whatever you want. I don't think I can bet on the over. I'll tell you, there was We did talk about the money line yesterday, Joe, right? The money line for Kansas City has come down. It's down. It is down to -155. The spread has stuck at 3. It's holding strong. Dave Mason, who, our buddy at BetOnline over there, tweeted out, his kind of statistics and the breakdown for BetOnline like he normally does. I'll see if I can pull it up here quickly. But right now, just from everything we have, yeah, the juice on the Bucks plus 3 is now -116. So Bucks getting some sharp coin overnight. It certainly looks like the sharp money is coming in on Tampa. Let me see if I can find it here. As of yesterday, 66% of the money was on the Chiefs -3, 54% of the money was on the Bucks money line +142, and 66% of the money was on the over 56 or 55.5. So yes, very, very, very interesting when you look at the money that's coming in. Again, that's just an example of one book. Doesn't necessarily representatively speak for all the books out there, but I do think that is it's certainly an angle to be looking at this week, Joe, when you're interested in where all the money is. We've talked about our buddy John Ewing, who you just kind of showed that picture of, and I think Ewing is a great fall. You know, where can I look at the money? Where can I do everything? Well, I'll tell you, the money has come in on Tampa Bay overnight. Right now, Kansas City is only getting 54% of the tickets and 54% of the money, which was a long, long difference from last night yesterday morning, where a ton of money was on Kansas City. It does appear where there was some Tampa money that came in last night. I think books are going to end up, needing whichever side they have the least exposure on with futures at this point. I think it's going to be pretty 50-50.
Yeah, and I figured I'd share this as well. And we referenced John Ewing because he works for a company called Bet Labs, which literally sits here and looks up all this information all day. But as you just mentioned here, Dan, you know, as of Monday, the January 25th, 80% of the money was on the Chiefs.
Yep.
You know, this is where the movement has come from. So today, 54% of the money's on the Chiefs. And I think that's going to go up because it's Sunday, right? It's like the squares are going to want to bet. Everybody that you know, the when I say square, the non-average bettor is going to be like, oh, well, I like the Chiefs, or oh, let's go the Bucks, or you know what I mean?
Yep.
Which is going to move that money all over the place. So 54% right now on the Chiefs. But look at that money that was on the Bucks on Friday. There's been some hammers coming in. The guy who sells the furniture there, he put a $2.3 million bet in on the Bucks.
Mattress Mac, yep.
Mattress Mac, yeah. Another guy today put on, I forget what it was. Somebody else put in there. thanks, DJ Bean, for checking in. I'm a square. Give me Tom Brady, please. I want my money on Tom Brady. That's literally the squares today.
Oh, I see. I think the squares want Patty Mahomes and all of that Midwestern Andy Reid cake, man. Oh, because
like Mahomes' girlfriend or whatever it is.
Oh my god! You want to talk about it?
We have a prop on her. We have a prop on her.
Yeah, the amount of insufferability she fucking causes. Holy shit! That check. Woo! Brutal. All right, let's get to some prop questions. We can definitely, Joe, if you have any plays you like for any other sports today, well, we can get to it.
We gave out 14 yesterday.
We gave out 15 props 15, yesterday. Nice. Yeah, 15 props. I have the picture. We will tweet it out after the game starts.
Your picture is probably much better than mine.
Mine
looks like Felger's path.
Yeah, no,
remember,
no.
Remember Felger's path?
This was an Excel worksheet. I think it's a little bit better. All right, so let's take some prop questions. Anything you guys have? Yeah, so I mean, we Tim, if you listen to any of the podcasts the last 2 weeks, we talked about the Brady rushing yards. We're on the over. We got it at a good price. I think at this point, you probably have to weigh the value of where the money is going to be. That is one of the heavier bet props, and it seems that the over has definitely taken the money, but the sharp side right now seems to be to the under. So I'd be careful. In terms of any anytime bet touchdowns for Kansas City, there's honestly the one that I actually took a look at that I liked a little bit was Byron Pringle. And just kind of hear me out on this. Pringle has really stepped up with the absence of Sammy Watkins, and I'm going to bake on the fact that Watkins probably isn't nearly 100% today, right? That would be my guess. I do think that there's going to be a narrative about not letting, you know, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce beat you. And I think that Kelce, who is, you know, obviously an important player, I think, you know, they're going to get some. But I think Pringle anytime touchdown, which is 16-1 some places, looking here, it's 10-1 other places. I think Pringle anytime touchdown is worth a small sprinkle. It's very small. Just as I think that he's been pretty good.
Can I throw an aside out there?
Yep.
I know Mecole Hardman's the guy that they want to progress. But in situations, Dan, he's fumbled the football. Remember, he reached out. Like, there are things that he's done where I don't know if they want to trust him in this type of game. So maybe Pringle is the other option here. And don't sleep on Sammy Watkins. Like, I like what I mean is I like your Pringle angle for the simple fact that Watkins is hurt. And at times around the red zone, I know that Hardman's made mistakes. Pringle hasn't. Only thing I'm saying is don't sleep on Sammy Watkins because last year he had a really good Super Bowl. No one saw that. No one talked about it. He might not even play. So if you do bet him, it will be a wash if he doesn't play. But just keep that one in mind. But I think that's why I think Pringle might be even better to play for the simple fact that we don't know about Watkins and the trust factor with Mecole Hardman.
Joe, we've gotten a few questions on Twitter. I got a few DMs. What do you think about Hardman to run the ball at least get a half a rushing attempt, over half a rushing attempt at plus money. I know that that's definitely been one of the more popular ones that has been kind of discussed this week. You're just kind of discussing about how Hardman's had, you know, trouble hanging on to the ball. Obviously, that big fumble last week, they did get him the ball again. He had a big rush. I think it was 50 or so yards that, you know, kind of got Kansas City back into that game early. Do you think that they go back to the Mecole Hardman running tree, or do you think it's going to be Tyreek Hill? I've seen Tyreek Hill's rushing prop, you know, between 2.5 and 7.5 yards. I actually tried to get a middle in that situation. Do you think that we're going to see something with Tyreek Hill? I think it's more likely that Hill gets a rush or two than Hardman, me personally, but I kind of wanted your opinion on what your thoughts are with Hardman getting a rush, and obviously that one also being pretty popular.
So I think at plus odds for 20, 25 bucks, it's worth it, right? I wouldn't put $100 or a big part of your bankroll on it. Fine, go ahead. The two people that I look at is Sammy Watkins. Oh, sorry, is Tyreek Hill and Antonio Brown of the Chiefs. Those are the two that I think could get a rush. And maybe Scotty Miller, right? Like, we know Antonio Brown has got that run. And Miller, and I like to look at last previous matchups because, dude, Miller and Tyler Johnson got one target each, zero catches. So maybe they try to incorporate Miller more. He has the speed. The linebackers aren't fast for the Chiefs. Their D-line is going to try to pressure Brady up the middle. So maybe a sweep on the Tampa side might be better value than maybe the Chiefs side.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I do think that Tyreek Hill will get involved in the run game at some point. I think that, you know, he has been extremely versatile with the way that they use him back there, and he's been, you know, pretty, you know, useful in those situations. I'll see if I can actually pull up his rushing stats this year. But they've used him out of the backfield a decent amount. And, I mean, he has touched the ball in important situations. Let's see if I can pull it up here. I mean, this year he has 13 rush attempts, Joe, for 123 yards and 2 touchdowns. He had a long of 32, basically an average yard, an average attempt of 9.5 yards. So, I mean, he's been very effective on the ground this season. They didn't use it a lot last year, but the 2 years ago they did 22 rushes for 151 yards. And a couple of years before that, his rookie year, 24 rushes for 267 yards. So, you know, they've kind of gone back and forth, and he has at times been, you know, very effective. He did have a fumble this year. So, I mean, you know, I don't know really how you want to think about that. Again, he was hurt last year, only played 12 games. So that obviously was a contributing factor. But like, yeah, you know, I think Tyreek Hill is probably the way I go with that one. Okay, question here. Any take on two players to score a touchdown prop? I don't think I would play that today. I don't. I think that this is going to be one of those games where if you're going to take some value on, you know, multiple players to score a touchdown prop, just find an anytime touchdown, because I do think that it's going to be more valuable today than trying to find a, you know, a two touchdown player. I've seen a lot of people asking me about Fournette, about having two touchdowns. I think Ronald Jones is going to be a big part of this game today. I do think Leonard Fournette will have his fair share, but I think Ronald Jones is going to be a big part of the game plan. And to me, that is, that's the reason I'd probably be out on Fournette. If you really want to go crazy and go for a two touchdown prop, like go like Brady or Mahomes, do something valuable, fun, get, you know, 1 yard line. Those QBs are going all out today. They might not trust the running backs. They might just want to sneak it into the end zone. We obviously know Tom Brady on the goal line, that, you know, that, I mean, that is Brady's career shit. He's amazing at getting that one extra yard, that fourth down conversion, that third down conversion, that touchdown, whatever. So, all right.
Ben June here. I think this is pretty good. Andy Reid with 2 weeks to prepare could have something cute. The only thing I can see cute is Tyreek Hill, maybe Kelsey, like on that little pitch. And one more, you just mentioned Ronald Jones. I agree with you. I think Fournette's going to be the receiver, and I think Jones is going to be the runner. But I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and we picked it on the show, Clyde Edwards-Helaire over 30 yards rushing. I think he's going to be back to the feet. He's going to be the featured back again today. And Williams will certainly get his rushes, no doubt. And remember last year, Damian Williams was the main bell cow in that Super Bowl. Wouldn't be surprised if Clyde Edwards-Helaire has a big game, whether it's receiving, rushing today. So I'm big on both Ronald Jones and Helaire.
Okay, we got a question here from our buddy Gabe asking about Patty Mahomes over 19.5 rushing yards. So we did talk about this prop yesterday.
That's gone down, by the way.
Yeah, well, it was at 22.5. There were some places yesterday it was up to 25.5. There's now some places it's 19.5. I actually saw 17.5. That was highly juiced today. What I would tell you with the Mahomes rushing prop is his toe is a lot worse than they're letting on right now. Schefter tweeted out that it's likely that he's going to need surgery after the season. I certainly understand that he's probably going to be, you know, pain-pilled up, whatever. I still am a little worried, and especially after last year, right? Especially after last year, we saw how Mahomes is willing to drop back and waste time on everything and, you know, take those big, big kneel downs. Mahomes over is dangerous to me. Honestly, it's dangerous. I don't think I would bet Mahomes over this year. Not saying I would do it. Just saying, I think it's a dangerous play. I think if you're going to do it, last year was the year to do it. So, okay, let's see. Question for Brian on the money percentage Vegas on Kansas City. So, the money that there was a lot of sharp money that came in last night on Tampa Bay. The line is down a lot of places. We're seeing a lot more money on Tampa Bay. The line, which I expected to move to 3.5 this week, has actually gone 3, and the juice has gone down. I think Tampa's actually 3 and minus 115 now. I was able to get 3.5 earlier in the week at minus 110, minus 105, which was nice. But unfortunately, at this point, if you're taking Tampa, it's got to be 3, not 3.5. It's just not worth buying it at juice plus the juice for the hook. You know, I talk about how I rarely buy hooks. I said I would recommend it at, you know, minus 105, minus 110 this week. I don't think you can anymore at minus 115, minus 120. So, all right. Yeah. So, Bill talking about a penalty negates a touchdown bet. The problem is, to me, there's just not enough value there. You're talking about that happens maybe once every, how often do you think a penalty negates a touchdown in a game?
I would say more like fourth down plays more than a touchdown.
Yeah, I do too. I think that a penalty negating a touchdown bet, well, it is Sheffers playing, so I do understand feeling better than that. I just don't think there's enough meat on the bone to play that, you know, at the 250 range. I'd be looking for something like more like a 450, 550, 650 to be interested in playing something along those lines. Again, there's a lot of certain situations, ball, you know, kick hitting the posts and, you know, penalty negating touchdown. I'm looking for real value in those things. I'm looking for legitimate value. If I can't find legitimate value, I don't want to touch it. So that's kind of the way I'm looking. All right. Question from Nelson, because we haven't really touched on the teaser aspect of anything. Strong opinion on the 6-point teaser, Bucks plus 9 under 62. Joe, do you have any feeling on a teaser position today?
I will tell you this. I know for the Chiefs were so bad at covering spreads that even their teasers weren't covering this year. But we discussed this already. You bet the Bucks up to 9. The total is where to go, right? If we're going to bet a tease, I think it's on the total. You either go over the 50 or you go under the 62. That's how I feel on the tease.
Yeah. Okay. I think I would go, well, it'd be what, over 49 or whatever it is.
50, whatever it
over
is.
50. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I would go under, I would try and play the under whatever side you like in the game. I do think that whoever wins this game, I don't think this is going to be a square tease side where everyone wins the tease. I think it's possible that you see a total tease where it falls in between, you know, the over and the under. I do think that is certainly possible this game, but in terms of you know, the side. I think if Tampa's going to win, they have to get out to a 10-point lead and probably win by, you know, a touchdown type game. I don't think that this is going to be a game where if Tampa plays from behind, I think they're in trouble early.
I never buy points on a teaser. I never do it.
No.
The hook I'll do on a regular play or something, but on a teaser, I never buy the points.
Very rarely is it worth it unless you're getting a super key number, but yeah, it's not worth it.
So here's the deal. We talked about this yesterday. I bet the conversion for a 2-point play, but how about just an attempt at even money? Like, I think that's fine.
I don't think that's a terrible bet. It opened
up. Why not a double down either?
It opened at plus 130, so you've lost a shitload of value, unfortunately, at this point, looking at even. It's not a bad bet. I don't think that it's a bad one. I think especially the way that this game plays out, I think I'm leaning towards the under. I think that will probably be, in my opinion, a good one. I just don't think that the conversion. I don't think the conversion at plus 225 is worth it. If you want to take a stab at an attempt, I'd go even. I think the conversion, which opened at 300, is dropped down significantly. I think I'd have to go even money there.
All right, I got a couple. If you don't mind,
hit me.
Fred from Newton is checking in. Tyreek Hill to win the Super Bowl MVP. What are the odds on that?
I'll see if I can pull him up here.
I was going to say another one that Fred and Newton is sending in. A fourth down touchdown. So a touchdown to be thrown
on a
fourth down. Let's just say it's 20 for 65.
So Tyreek Hill to win the Super Bowl MVP is 10.5 to 1 right now. So plus 1050. There are a few better prices out there. I think if you're looking for a non-QB to win MVP, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce would probably be my routes. I wouldn't go any running backs. A running back has not won it since what? I think the 90s was the last time a running back won Super Bowl MVP. Defensive players we talked about yesterday, there's been four defensive MVPs, and those were all from probably maybe the four best defensive teams that we have seen in the Super Bowl in the past 20 years. I would argue probably Tampa 2002 doesn't really belong there, but Baltimore, Ray Lewis won it in 2000. Who won it with the Broncos? I'm assuming that it was, I think it was Vaughn.
Von Miller,
and then Smith, and then Smith won it with the Seahawks with the Legion of Boom. I'm looking at that. I'm saying, you know, these defenses, even Tampa, how good Tampa's defense is this year. The secondary, it's not remotely comparable. So I'm not going defense. The alternative method, I'm going wide receiver. If you can find some sort of prop like wide receiver or tight end wins MVP, might be worth a dribble. I don't love it, but I do think that if you're looking for something, it's got to be Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, Godwin. I think those are your choices outside of Brady and Mahomes. I don't think there's anyone else you'd even consider it. What was the other question from Fred and Newton over there?
Tyrann Mathieu for the MVP.
Yeah,
5,000.
Yeah, I just kind of talked about it. I don't think that that's probably worth it. I think Mathieu is a playmaker, and he might have a moment in this game. But Matthew's probably going to be matched up on, you know, what? You're probably going to see him matched up on, you know, a guy like Evans, a guy like Godwin. And I don't see it. Like Brady has been turnover prone in the past few weeks, and we've obviously seen that. But I just I don't see it, Joe. I don't see the value in taking defensive players today. I mean, we've gotten questions on Devin White as well. I think Devin White, again, same sort of thing. It's like you're banking on some of these impact guys to have multiple impact moments, unless it's, you know, unless it's like a pick six. I think you're asking a lot. Yeah. So question from Michael, Le'Veon Bell touchdown. We talked about this yesterday. I don't think Le'Veon Bell is going to even get a carry. He may not. I don't think he's going to factor in this game whatsoever.
Only time I've ever seen him touch the ball is when they literally don't have anyone else to give the ball to. But late in the game, though, let's say the Chiefs have a 4-point lead with a minute to go. Who's running the ball? Probably Williams,
It's with under a minute to go. If Hilaire is healthy, it's Hilaire. I mean, he's your most talented player, your best back.
With a rookie, though, who has fumbled?
I mean, yeah, he has fumbled, but he is also your most talented player. You got to live and die by your roster. I would go Hilaire if he's healthy. If he's not, then you have to go Darrell Williams. I think you're asking for a Hilaire re-injury or a Williams injury for Le'Veon Bell to see, honestly, any sort of playing time today. I think that's a dangerous proposition. I wouldn't bet a single dollar on a Le'Veon Bell over anything. I would bet Le'Veon Bell's under across the board.
And there's probably value in that, too. When we say value, it doesn't mean the actual odds value. Just fading Le'Veon Bell to make an impact might be worth some value in the game. I wanted to bring up one thing, Dan. People follow a lot of people on Twitter, and hey, this guy's hot. Watch out for this guy. Like, you know, we hear that all the time. Barstool's now big in the betting game, and people love to ride it, and it's great. I think they're very entertaining. We've discussed this before. They're heavy on the over. Over, what is it? Team over. They got some sort of hashtag. Big Cats, get some hashtag going.
Yeah, they're on the over, and they're giving away the over jacket, and they're doing all that fun stuff. Yeah.
Does this give us more value on the under?
I don't think it gives you any more value on the under. I do think that, you know, it presents one of those interesting dilemmas where, and I'm a Barstool guy. Always have been through and through. You know, I fucking hated Jose Canseco talking shit about the Calhoun. Fuck you, Jose. You know, I'm kind of one of those guys where, I think if anyone who's paying attention kind of saw this in the stock market a couple weeks ago, last week, whatever, when all the celebrities started getting on GM and started saying buy GM stocks, and all of a sudden the stock crashed. I do think that when you see everyone in the world, you know, these big time guys, I've listened to the media this week. It's been very, by the way, Dijo, I did hear a lot of Tampa Bay love from the media yesterday. So I'd heard mostly Kansas City love, but I did hear a lot of Tampa Bay love yesterday. I'd say there's a lot of, just in terms of the total, it's been over. Everyone loves the over. I'm going under. I'm going under. You know, so yeah. So I do think that there is, I don't think there's any necessary more perceived value in taking the under. I just think you do have to take a look at the fact that there is. So there's definitely some sharp money coming in on the under so far, moving from 56 to 55.5, and the money's still coming in on the over. So
Gary's talking about this field goal here. See, I would stay away from it because I remember that Eagles Patriots Super Bowl where there was no, like, did Gronkowski even play? You know what I mean? Like,
I think that was Vinatieri, no?
No, the other Eagles. The
more recent, of course. Yeah, sorry. I'm having flashbacks.
Well, Vinatieri hit the game winner. But, yeah. I think about high-powered offenses, and sometimes they, you know, like, both these coaches will go for it on fourth down. No doubt. No risk it, no biscuit. You know what I mean? Like, Reed goes for it on fourth down all the time. So, I mean, I just look at it.
We saw Bruce Arians and Brady. We saw Bruce Arians and Brady go for it on fourth down last week, and that Scotty Miller touchdown right before half. So,
yeah, another guy. Do you like the first? So this one's interesting to me. Dan, I know you have a history of betting first halves in the Super Bowl. So I ask you, what do you think about the total of 27.5?
I think I'm going to stay off the first half. I'd rather ride full game. I do agree with the scenario of lower scoring first half, higher scoring second half. I do agree with the concept of that, but I'm having a Joe Murray type moment here, and I'm kind of flashing back to that first game where Kansas City dominated that first half, and you know, that first half went over. In the second half, Kansas City struggled, struggled offensively. Tampa came back. And as our buddy JJ said here, Bucks first half overs have been money so far this year. I would go if you want to take, yeah, John. So if you want to look at the second half minus 1.5 over the first half, I would wait to see. I'm not touching the half stuff. I'm trying to go full game here and diagnose the full game and not guess what type of half we'll get in the first half. Although I do agree. I'm going to agree with the Joe public scenario here that you'll see a lower scoring first half. But that being said, I don't want to place any of my money on it. I'm looking for value today. And I don't think there's any real value there. Plus, as we said, the Bucks first half overs, especially recently, have been fire.
Well, let's break down the game then. And there's more props and feel free to send more in. The two teams know each other. Like, they played already this year. How are the Bucks going to stop Tyreek Hill? How are they going to? He lit him up. So what are they going to do this week that's different? They got to play a zone? You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing that interests me. The other thing is the Bucks aren't scared. The Brady won't be scared. They're a veteran-laden team. Dan, this is weird, but I actually think the offensive line with Gronk at tight end is better than the Chiefs' offensive line. So that's something I'm looking at today. The time. I saw a ton of these prop bets for the defenders, for the Chiefs, and taking like the over in sacks and, you know, will they hit Tom Brady, like those kind of numbers. And I see that everyone's on the over on those defensive line statistics or prop bets that are out there. But like the Chiefs' D-line has to make an impact in this game. And it's not that the Chiefs' secondary isn't great. It's just that they've given up plays all year long. So why wouldn't Tom Brady make those same plays? You know what I mean? So I feel like the game really does come down to the Chiefs' defensive line making plays. And I think Gronk is going to be a huge part of blocking in this game. And that's something that as someone who likes the Chiefs today, I feel like the Chiefs defensive line has to make plays and get at Brady, or Brady's going to have time to throw all day long.
Agreed. No, I absolutely agree with that. I think that it's going to be, I think honestly, I think at this point you have to take a look at the defensive lines. Joe, one factor in this game we haven't really touched on at all, which is, I guess, an oversight on our part. Eric Fisher tears his Achilles as a left tackle for Kansas City last week. He's done for the season, obviously. No left tackle there. The entire left side is a new left side from last year and, you know, just in general. How is that going to impact today's game? Because I think the loss of Fisher actually hurts them more on the run game. Mahomes is going to create time back there in the pocket. I'm not super worried about that. In terms of everything for the Kansas City Chiefs. But in terms of the run game, this is where I am concerned about looking at, you know, a Clyde Edwards-Helaire over or Darrell Williams over. And this is why maybe I'd be looking the other way, is just because I'm concerned with that team running the football, especially to the left side this year, or today, I mean, and especially kind of everything that's going on there. I'm just concerned that that is going to be the side. All of a sudden, you're going to see Shaq Barrett over there and, you know, Jason Pierre-Paul over there. And they're going to start overloading that left side of the line. And I think that you could see some real, you know, breakdowns there with Kansas City, because I do think that that left side of the line has been something that really hasn't been talked about a lot by anyone this week. Now, it's been mentioned at times, but I just haven't heard a ton of Eric Fisher talk. And I do think that that's going to be a problem. It also changes the entire communication on the entire line, because they're moving their left tackle to the right tackle. What is going to happen there, Joe? What do you think?
Yeah, well, Travis Kelce might have to stay home a little more. You know, maybe they're going to have a tight end on the field instead of a Pringle or a Hardman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's another key to it. And then this one's interesting too. I actually was going to bring it up, but, you know, John mentions it. If the line's going to be shaky, the Mahomes scrambling thing might be another thing to consider here. I wouldn't be surprised if they have two backs on the field. They go Williams and Helaire. that, you know, maybe just for protection's sake. I think the Chiefs are pretty good at. They're actually missing their left side of the line.
Yeah, the whole left side, right?
So, do I think it's going to be a big factor in the game? Maybe during the game we'll be like, shit, you know, Eric Fisher's missing. Like, this is a big loss. I don't know. Like, when you see Mahomes play, does he favor any direction? See, like, that's what I mean. I don't know, the left tackle blindside thing. I don't know if that is a thing with Mahomes, you know, where, like, when Brady, when that line struggled a little bit, you noticed it with Brady, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we have talked about that offensive line getting beat this year, especially in primetime games. And I think that the offensive line in the playoffs has been fantastic. I mean, really, they've outperformed what my expectations were. Donovan Smith has been really strong at left tackle after, in my opinion, he was not good, borderline terrible at times this season. And I think I'm not super worried about that Tampa Bay offensive line, which of course means that, you know, Kansas City will get home and have fucking 11 sacks tonight. But I look at that and say, I think that they've, you know, for the most part, I've figured it out. I just sit back there and I say, man, you know, Tampa Bay, maybe they're a little bit nervous early. Brady obviously won't be, but you know, maybe they're nervous early. I just think that, you know, I can't bet against Brady in the Super Bowl. I gave it out yesterday. I'm taking Tampa. I got 3.5 early in the week. I have a massive 40-1 future on them, which I've decided to ride, although maybe later tonight if I become a bitch, I might put some on Kansas City -155. If I can find a -150, Joe, I might have to hedge. A -150, we're talking about, you know, some legitimate hedging opportunities tonight. So I might have to do that, but
I'm gonna be live bet. I got the Packers live bet last AFC Championship game, NFC Championship game. I'm gonna be live betting the shit out of this thing. I live bet the Chiefs last year to come back and win. I raked last year. I'm gonna be live betting all day long, and I'm gonna be tweeting it out. Hey, live bet right now is this. You know, hey, dude, sometimes those odds are 400, 500, 800. You know what I mean? Like, dude, I'll put $50 on that to win 400. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's the stuff I'm in for.
I agree. I mean, listen, there. If you guys bet an NBA game, the best way, you know, we can give it out pregame and everything. The best way to bet an NBA game is to bet it live. You bet the swings in the game. If it, you know, a team is down like 20 early, you bet that side. You bet the other side when they come back. I mean, that's the whole way of live betting. You know, of betting the NBA. Honestly, in my opinion, is live betting is way more profitable than full game betting, second half betting, whatever you want to do. That's the way.
Look at this prop.
Yep.
Sherman is the fullback?
Yep. Anthony Sherman.
Juszczyk got 2 touchdowns last year on the goal line.
Juszczyk is used a lot more than Sherman in goal line sets, just in terms of the actual carries. I'll read you Anthony Sherman's stats this year, Joe.
It wasn't pretty, in my opinion.
But
what I'm saying is, could this be cute? Could this be something cute, you know?
I mean, he had 3 rushes this year for 8 yards and no touchdowns. He's had 1 career touchdown. I think you're burning your money. I think you're better off going with something like if you can find like a Travis Kelce rushing touchdown or like something along those lines. I think they'll probably put the ball in Travis Kelce's hands before they put in Anthony Sherman's. Now again, watch me fucking burn that, and Sherman has 2 touchdowns as the game of his fucking night of his career. I just don't think that'd be something I would bet. Question for Bill: prop you've bet that has moved the most in your favor? Sarah Thomas, I got -145. So we mentioned after the national anthem or after the kickoff and before the first score of the game. That is now -190. So if you listen to us Thursday or yesterday, you got that in at -145. That has moved heavily since to -190.
All right.
Also, by the way, Andy Reid's dick nose.
Dick nose.
The dick nose prop also has moved. We got it, minus 140 yesterday. Andy Reid dick nose is now minus 155.
All right, Dan, I think we should go over some of the prop bets we gave out yesterday.
Okay.
And then give our prediction, and then, I don't know, there's a Celtics game today. I don't know if there's anything else. People are going to bet early on. So we have the Brady over rushing yards, plus 150. I think we got it at. It's 105 now.
Yep.
I have a. I took Gronk anytime touchdown plus 180. You mentioned the Sarah Thomas thing.
Yep,
that's at 140. I have Clyde Edwards-Helaire over 30 yards rushing plus 110. Tucker took Mecole Hardman over 28.5 reception yards. That was minus 145.
Yep.
Will there be a two-point conversion converted? Plus 230 is what we got of that yesterday. A safety, which I always bet, $25. So if you don't want to waste your money, don't. But I like money. Plus $800. Ronald Jones over rushing. What is it now?
We got 37.5 rush yards. It is now 39.
Boom. Cameron Brate under catches. Was that what it was?
Under 2.5 receptions, plus 135.
Yep. The Chiefs convert a fourth down play.
Yep.
Minus 140.
Yep.
Brady for Super Bowl MVP.
Plus 200.
Plus 200.
That is now down to plus 170 most places.
The dick nose.
No dick nose.
No dick nose, minus 145. And it's then
minus 155 now.
I have, is this over what, Sammy Watkins?
So you have tails, minus 103. That was your coin toss prediction with tails.
Listen, you're betting on the coin toss today. 4 years tails, 4 years heads. It goes tails, it goes heads. So what are we doing this year? We're going back to tails.
All right. Back to tails. Tucker also had Scotty Miller over 22.5 receiving yards, minus
1. That's what it was, Scotty Miller.
And Sammy Watkins under 3.5 receptions at minus 120.
Which might be worth it. I wonder. I'm still curious if he's going to play today.
And then Michael Waters says they're prompt for an extra point or field goal hitting the crossbar. We just talked about that. I think that those are the props where you get burned by the books, because you're asking for a scenario that happens very rarely, and they're giving you plus money, but the plus money isn't nearly enough to cover where the actual odds should be. So I do think that you're going to be in trouble there.
Rich in Nantucket checking in. He has a fat guy touchdown today, whether it's an offensive lineman or offensive or defensive lineman. One of the props, I believe, was $3,000. And then if you split that in half with 50. And then the other is anytime fat guy, offensive or defense. That's fun for me. I like that.
It's not something I love, but I get the theory of it. The only problem with that is I look back and I say, well, they're not going to put a fat guy in on the goal line because they have Kelsey. And I think Kelsey would be like your fat guy, fullback, running back.
The Dominican Sue on a strip sack following
the ball. I was going to say, but would you be shocked if they gave it to an Dominican Sue on the 1 yard line if they don't want to risk Brady? Could I see it? Yes.
Via Vita as a fullback?
Do I think it will happen? Unlikely. Yeah, but I do understand that. Our question from Nelson, do you think the Bucks will be exploiting the Kansas City linebackers via the pass game with their running backs and tight ends, especially with Britt Reid not coaching? I don't think so. I don't think that it's going to play into any of it. If anything, I think you're actually looking more, if you're looking at where the Kansas City linebackers will struggle, I think it's going to be with the weather I don't think the coach will mean a fucking thing, honest to God. The team has already been coached up all season. Andy Reid's going to be there. They have a defensive coordinator. I mean, yes, the linebackers coach won't be there, but there will be someone in that spot. You don't have to fucking worry about that. Reid will have that covered.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that they're going to be able to abuse it. I think Braid is hurt, just judging off the fact that he was questionable. I wonder if they're going to use Gronk more in a passing role today to make up for the fact that Braid may be banged up. And Fournette, again, I'm going to keep saying it. I'm not big on Fournette. I don't think this is going to be a big Fournette game. I think you're going to – this is the type of game where they switch it up. You go Ronald Jones in the running game. You know what I mean? It's So I do think that this is going to be more of a Jones game. Just my opinion. Just my opinion.
I think if anything about the linebackers and the safeties, Brady's play action, it's so good. That would be the only thing. And then, you know, in those cases, Scotty Miller deep, Antonio Brown deep. Godwin deep. Linebackers, they are what they are, right? I mean, they are what they are. Tyrann Mathieu, though, I'm wondering what is he a rover today? Is he a ball hawk? Is he going to cover, you know, is he going to cover Gronk? Is what's he going, like, that's, I'm interested to see. I just want to know, but I don't think the linebacker will have an impact. I know that will it be emotional for Andy Reid? Absolutely.
Yes.
But this guy's a pro, dude. His fucking son died. Like, I'm not making light of it. His son died during the season. Like, when he was with the Eagles. He had multiple problems. People thought he should have walked away. It essentially, like, got him out of Philadelphia. And it's tough. From everything I hear, Andy Reid's a great father. Whether he's an enabler or not, I don't know. I don't care. He's a fucking good football coach, and I think he's going to be ready to go today. That's my thoughts on that.
I did too. We talked about this yesterday. Is there a moment of time where maybe Reed is, you know, lost in thought about it potentially? I still don't think that you can make a bet based upon this news. I will say, Joe, I've been disappointed in the coverage of the story. If this was a Belichick member of the family, I do think that this would be a bigger story and national media would be coming from every angle. It doesn't feel like it. We were on air yesterday. We read the ESPN story. The ESPN story did not mention the drinking originally, which is concerning that ESPN, who is supposed to be the, you know, this international sports network, decided to leave out a major part of the story.
Barely forgot to mention 11 of 12 footballs never happened. I know.
Yeah, it was disappointing to kind of see the coverage of it. But in terms of it being an impact, no, I don't think it's going to be an impact. In the game, obviously, Andy Reid off the bye has been an angle forever, right? It has been an angle forever with Andy Reid off the bye. Obviously they didn't cover against Cleveland due to Patrick Mahomes getting hurt. Maybe Andy Reid off the bye is no longer a thing, Joe. I think he's 0-2 this year off the bye. I wonder if we're going to make that 0-3 because that has been an angle. But I come back to, and I think we're going to start wrapping up here unless you guys have any more prop questions. But, Joe, I come back to a couple things when really breaking down this game. First off, the red zone defense for Kansas City. In terms of historic percentage, it is one of the historically the one of the worst defenses we've seen in the Super Bowl era for red zone efficiency in terms of defense. Just horrendous. Teams that are basically in this in this category, 0-5. 0-5 in this in this scenario. So I mean that's brutal in terms of that. If you're looking at the historical, side of things. In terms of, in terms of the team and the matchup, the money, I mean, the books are almost always profitable in the Super Bowl. Will they be this year? I mean, these were two teams that had a shitload of future money on them. I wonder, what books are good, where they're going to need money We're going to find out, I think probably before kickoff, where books, you know, which side books need. And, you know, that will be certainly interesting. I, you know, I take a look at that, and I'm also starting to take a look at the fact that, it's a Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. And to me, it's not fadeable. It's not fadeable. It's the percentage is too fucking good. I would roll with that again.
So analysis wise, Patrick Mahomes' best yardage this season was 462 yards. And that was against the Kansas City Chiefs, against the Tampa Bay Bucks this year. So I'm going back to that. I'm going back to that Carlton Davis versus Tyreek Hill matchup. I just don't think he can cover him. He has been better, Carlton Davis, no doubt. The defense got much better. Brady got much better as it went. The pass rush for the Bucks with Vita Vea back. JPP's been injured. He hasn't been practicing. You know, on the flip side, you have to look at Cameron Brayton and his bad back. You know, I think the defensive lines are going to win the game for both sides. And I just think the Chiefs might be a little bit better. Like on paper, right? Ndamukong Suh, JPP, Vea, like all those guys, Shaq Barrett, all those guys on paper, better than the Chiefs. I just think the Chiefs find a way to do it. I think Mahomes has a huge day through the air. Now, if we're talking spread, though, there's no doubt about it. The Chiefs are 7-3 in their last 10 against the spread, while the Chiefs are 2-8 against the spread the last 10 games. So who's been the better team against the spread? Absolutely, it's the Bucks. For one game, I'm going Patrick Mahomes over Tom Brady, -3. I'm not betting the total, but if I did, it would be the over.
Gotcha. Okay. So there you go. There's everything we have. We talked about, really all the props. Gatorade color, I got nothing for you. Gatorade color to me is just, unless you got some info there, and there is info that's passed around, not from me this year. How about
that national anthem? Anything there?
Again, national anthem is down everywhere. I have not seen books put it back up. I don't think they will. The leaked rehearsals pretty much killed any chance of those props getting back up. If you got it in early and got the over, congratulations. It looks like you're going to be pretty well off. If you didn't, I'm sorry. That sucks. I do think that will kind of suck. But ultimately, I think most people will be okay in terms of that. Hopefully you got the over. Hopefully no one bet the under in that one, because that would blow. I think it's going over 2 minutes. According to our buddy JJ, the Ace has put up the national anthem. I have not seen it. Over -300. That is that's silly.
Yeah. See. Which one of you guys eats more fast food? You're a fucking asshole for making fucking fat jokes. So how about that? But it's probably me, because Dan's on a diet.
This is the Yankee fan. He's just a little pussy. Don't worry about it.
It's like fat jokes on Super Bowl Sunday. I'm going to be air frying like a motherfucker. I'm going to be eating chips all fucking day. Of course I'm going to be a fat fucking Super Bowl Sunday. But you got to be a dick about it? Fuck off.
I don't eat fast food anymore.
Dan doesn't even eat fast food.
Nope.
What if I told you I was a vegetarian? Would you believe me?
Don't let
him.
He's a Yankees fan, man. Don't let him get to you.
No, it's not that. Again, I'm never offended by a fat joke. It's just not funny.
I don't care about it. All right.
I don't either. It's not funny.
Yeah. Okay. I just
Super Bowl Sunday. Every girl you're gonna be with today is gonna be stuffing their face. Everybody you know, every dude you know is gonna be stuffing. I'm gonna get wings. I'm gonna get fucking this, that, blah. Dan, are we sharing any college basketball or NBA, or are we keeping it up?
Do you have anything today?
I mean, there is a Celtics game. I was at the fucking Paul Pierce finale game years ago. That was one of the greatest days of my life, if I could be honest with you. I won a lot of money that day. I don't know. Phoenix Suns are very good. Very, very, very good. Is Jaylen Brown playing tonight?
Jaylen Brown's not playing tonight. He is out tonight. He's been ruled out.
Celtics 1-4 in their last five meetings in Phoenix. The under 4-1 in their last five meetings.
To me, this is a Celtics letdown spot. Big win coming off against the Clippers after a bad loss against Sacramento. This is a letdown spot, in my opinion. It is, and this is a spot where I think if you're going to back something, I think you should take the Clippers and lay the points today if you want something. So there you go. So that would be the way that I would roll. I would lay the 8.5 with the Clippers. There. So that seemed like a good spot, a nice little bounce back.
Yep. And be careful on that Patriots, how many times it gets mentioned. They could say New England, they could say Boston's team, they could say Belichick and Kraft, they could say Brady's former team. Don't worry, I think Tony Romo's in on this. I think they're all in on it. So enjoy your Super Bowl Sunday, everybody. I hope this was helpful. We didn't do a Thursday podcast. We did it today. I unfortunately have to go to a wake right now, and then get my game face on. I'm going to have buffalo wings today. I'm going to have curly fries, and I'm going to go meet my buddies at the wing truck that's down the street.
Nice.
And I'm going to air fry for those that are wondering.
Nice. Yeah, no, I hope you have a good ass time. Go enjoy. I'm cooking up expensive steaks today, man.
I have a Omaha steak in my freezer. If I want, I could put it in the fridge now, and when I get home later, I could cook that. I got a nice little rice and broccoli mix I could put together. How about that for a little? Well, you wouldn't eat the rice and broccoli mix.
I would not. We're I'm going over to a buddy's place to watch the game in his basement, which is aired out, and we're cooking some steaks today. Some nice quality steaks. Splurged a little bit. We got some duck fat hot dogs, which we're rolling with. We're going some extra large chicken wings that are gonna be grilled on the grill and smoked all day. It's snowing outside, so it's gonna be smoked in the snowy smoker. It's gonna be a fun day, man. I'm stoked. I hope you guys have a good night. I fucking hope Tampa Bay wins. I hope Tom Brady wins another Super Bowl. Forget about the money. I'm just rooting for the guy at this point. I hope he wins because I think this is his last chance, Joe. I do. I think this is it. I think you. I think this is it for him. I do, and I think that if he wins tonight, at this point, if you argue that Brady's a system quarterback, if he wins tonight, seriously, it's over for you. There's no argument if Brady wins.
And just look at the Bucs schedule next year. So all I'm going to tell
you. I saw, but I'm not worried about the regular season schedule. I'm just telling you, I don't think that they'll be able to make a run like this again. They got some real luck on defense in that New Orleans game. You know, I didn't think Brady played super well in either game. But I do think this is going to be a fun-ass game tonight. I hope you guys all enjoy it. Listen, for me, it's go Bucks.
Go Bucks, go! Go Bucks, go! Hey, Tampa, what do you say? Bucks are going to win the Super Bowl today. And I am not Jim Murray. Even though I have to give him props for the Tom, the thong, thong, thong. Oh, man, that was great.
Fantastic. Jim always fucking brings it with that shit, man. He's creative. He does it. Fucking, he killed it.
And since I'm going Chiefs, I'm going Wahoo, Wahoo Chiefs. We got Chiefs, Wahoo, Wahoo Chiefs. Mahomes is my homie, and he's going to make me some money today. That was my song. All right, we got to get out of here. He's Dan Lipschitz. I'm Joe Murray. Enjoy the Super Bowl, everybody. This has been another edition of Over Under 985 Podcast.
Who you got? Good luck.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.